Vasudevaya. So, last night I was describing a little bit about how entering into Vrindavan is not a simple thing, because Vrindavan is not a place where we can go. We can travel to the location where Vrindavan is supposed to be situated, but Vrindavan remains covered by a layer of illusory energy, the yoga maya energy of Krishna. And therefore, even although we travel so much, we can ultimately not enter into that place. So, it is by mercy. It's by mercy that we can go there. Otherwise, there's no question of going there. So, when we are coming from Delhi or from Mathura, then we can come via the highway, which takes us to Chatikara. So this Chatikara is actually an old place. It is a place which is a place where Krishna performed his pastimes. The name Chatikara is found in a book of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami describes how Krishna was in Mathura. And while Krishna was in Mathura, he was experiencing how he had left Vrindavan. Krishna had no desire to go back, to stay in Mathura. Jiva Goswami describes how Krishna wanted to go straight back to Vrindavan after Kamsa had been killed. But then the family member spoke up, and the family member said, wait a minute, there was a voice from the sky, a celestial voice, and this celestial voice explained that the eighth son of Devaki would kill Kamsa. So, it's really clear whose son you are. Devaki's son. And therefore, now that Kamsa is gone, who will protect Mathura? So you cannot go. Krishna said, "Yeah, no, but I'm going." He said, "No, you cannot go, because you have a duty to your family." So in this way, Krishna was forced to stay in Mathura against his will. And yes, there were so many demons that just needed to be killed. So finally Krishna relented and said, "Yes, well, okay, I will not go. But how? How will I tell Nanda Maharaj?" So anyway, Nanda Maharaj was also there, because Nanda Maharaj had come for the wrestling match. Krishna was invited for the wrestling match, and Nanda Maharaj was also there, along with the other coward men from Vrindavan. But Mother Yasoda had stayed behind. She had stayed home. So Nanda Maharaj, they had come with bullock carts, and they made a camp outside with bullock carts. And it is said that Krishna went there to that camp to inform Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was thinking, how am I going to tell Nanda Maharaj that I cannot go? So finally, he explained to Nanda Maharaj, the voice from the sky, eighth son from Devaki, it killed Kamsa, it's me, and now I have to stay. What can I do? And Nanda Maharaj said, but how will I tell Yasoda? Huh? So somehow or other, Nanda Maharaj is thinking like that. How can I go back to Vrindavan and tell Yasoda this news? And then Krishna said, no, you tell her, I'll be right back. I just kill a few demons and then I will be back. So in this way it began, and Krishna stayed longer than expected. But it was not only that the residents of Vrindavan were experiencing great separation from Krishna. Krishna himself also equally so was experiencing great separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna was particularly concerned about his mother, his father, knowing that they practically could no longer function. Yasoda would just repeatedly say to Nanda Maharaj, how could you let him go? How could you let him go? And Nanda Maharaj would just say, What do you mean? He just went to the forest, he'll be right back. You mad woman, what are you talking? So both were kind of going completely mad in separation from Krishna. Radharani, it says, was close to dying. So Krishna knew something had to be done. One day, while standing on the roof of the palace in Mathura and looking out in the direction of the land of Vrindavan, Krishna called Uddhava. Uddhava was Krishna's cousin. Uddhava, he looked exactly like Krishna. He just had similar features, also darkish complexion, also lotus eyes, also long arms and yellow dhoti. Uddhava, furthermore, was very qualified. Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods. So therefore, Uddhava was very, very learned. Uddhava knew more than anyone else, practically speaking. And in Mathura and Dwarka, Uddhava was the most intimate devotee of Krishna. Uddhava was able to connect with Krishna and sometimes speak with him in codes, and no one could understand, only the two of them. So they were very close and intimate. So therefore, Krishna sent the most intimate devotee from Mathura to Vrindavan. So then he called him, and he gave him instructions of what to do. So these instructions are known as the Uddhava Sandesh, a book written by Rupa Goswami. And in this Uddhava Sandesh, it's interesting because first Rupa Goswami is describing how Krishna says to Uddhava, you must go to Nandagram and there you'll meet my parents and you pacify my parents, and then you'll meet Srimati Radharani, who's at the verge of dying, and by a message from me you will again revive her. And then as he begins to speak, in his mind, Krishna is traveling to Vrindavan, and in his mind he is beginning to describe the whole road to Uddhava, and he's saying, he says, and I'll read a little bit now. Oh, wise one, the first place you will see on your journey is Gokarna Kshetra, where the husband of Gauri, Shiva, stays in the form of Gokarn, just to rescue the living entities from the ocean of distress. Very close to Gokarn Kshetra is the Sangam of the Saraswati and Yamuna rivers, which fulfills all the desires of the living entities. When I first arrived in Mathura, it was at Yamuna Saraswati Sangam that the beautiful women of Mathura welcomed me with their beautiful sightlong glances. One beautiful lady had addressed her friend thus, oh, that Krishna, who by the sweet playing of his flute caused the clothes of the gopis to loosen, is today standing before you. All glories to you. So Krishna is in his mind, going the whole way to Vrindavan, and each place has a memory. Each place has a pastime that took place, and Krishna remembers. He says, like, next you will come to Ambikavan. We can remember in the Krishna book a description about Ambikavan, and that once Nanda Yasoda and all the residents of Vrindavan went on a yatra. Nowadays you see it a little less, but still sometimes you see that a whole village goes on a yatra. It used to be a lot like that. You would see in Vrindavan, you see a whole village, and they go with the cows, and you see the villagers walking around with sticks of sugar cane, and many come from long distance, and they'd go on a pilgrimage. They just all leave their village and just take all the animals and just go walking around Vraj. So Nanda and Yasoda and all the residents of Vrindavan did that also. They went. And then they came to this place, Ambikavan. Ambika is, of course, Durga Devi. So that place, some temple of Durga Devi is there. But that was not the main thing. It was in Ambikavan that somehow or other this huge snake attacked Nanda Maharaj. Some sort of python, right? A snake that can swallow an entire human being. So Nanda Maharaj was half swallowed, and it was a major thing. And all the residents of Vrindavan, the man took sticks, burning sticks from a fire, and started to beat that snake with the burning sticks of the fire. And still, he kept on swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And so it was only when Krishna personally took up, came to the rescue of his father, that he managed to kill this snake, who then took the form of a Vidyadhara. A Vidyadhara, there are these lower planetary heavenly planets, just below the heavenly planets, where there are many celestial beings who are actually glorifying the demigods, like Gandharvas. Vidyadharas means basically holders of knowledge. So those who would recite Vedic mantras, and with their Vedic mantras would just create a very auspicious atmosphere. That is the nature of the celestial regions. Others are the Kinnaras, like Garuda. And it says when Garuda is flying, his wings produce the sound of the Samaveda. So in this way, in the celestial regions, one can always hear different mantras. Either the Vidyadharas are reciting mantras, or the Gandharvas are singing beautiful kirtan and glorification, or one can hear the sounds of the Samavedas. So what an atmosphere, right? Quite something. Such piety. Therefore, these celestial regions are extraordinary. Anyway, this snake turned out to be a Vidyadhara who had been cursed and now delivered by Krishna. So they come to this. So Krishna describes to Uddhava, you will come to Ambikavan. And Krishna remembers what took place there. He said, and then he said that serpent had actually come from the Kaliya lake, because Kaliya had resided in that lake, which was attached to the Yamuna, and therefore all the water of the Yamuna became poisoned, and there were many poisonous snakes, not only Kaliya, but many snakes were there in that river. So, and then he says, Krishna continues to speak. Krishna says, O patient one, You then sit on your chariot, but you do not need to go to that place on the bank of the Yamuna where I hurled the tusks of the elephant Kuvalyapida, because gentle persons have nothing to do with the demons. So like this, Krishna is remembering how this elephant, just such a demon, how he killed that elephant. And for a moment, he's back there, just on the edge of Mathura, after having left Vrindavan. And in this way, Krishna is slowly going back to Vrindavan in his mind. So he said, avoid that place where that elephant was killed, because we gentle persons, no, they don't want to go to such a place. So then Krishna says how to go around. He says, first go south and then to the north. So that means that make a circle, basically. Go to the south and then to the north. Right? Go in a circle around it. And you will reach at Tirtharaj Akrura Ghat, where there are many varieties of flowers and birds. Then go ahead from that place where I had shown Akrura my four-armed form and the Vrajabasi's Goloka. So different pastimes took place there. One was that Akrura, he saw Krishna's Vaikuntha form, but it is said that in that same place once, on a Dwadasi, Nanda Maharaj, to end Ekadasi properly, he wanted to take a bath in the Yamuna. But Nanda Maharaj, he was a little too early, and there are auspicious times and inauspicious times. So because he took his bath too early, still in the night, it was considered inauspicious. And as he went in the water, the servants of Varuna came and arrested him. They took him along and took him underwater. So the other residents of Vrindavan just saw Nanda Maharaj went into the water and disappeared. Meanwhile, the servants of Varuna brought Nanda Maharaj before Varuna. And when Nanda Maharaj came there and he saw Varuna, he was shocked. Because, you know, just like any of us, he would never expect to see Varuna. I mean, at least I don't. I don't really expect to see Varuna when I go in the Yamuna. So Nanda Maharaj also, so suddenly he's seeing Varuna. So he's totally shocked. I mean, I'm here, I'm awake, I'm seeing Varuna. How is it possible? What's happening here? Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, it was alarm, alarm. Nanda Maharaj says, is drowned. He went into the water. Krishna immediately got ready, jumped in the water, went looking for Nanda Maharaj, and moments later appeared in the court of Varuna. Then Varuna came down of his throne, and Varuna made flat dandavats to Krishna. And like Nanda Maharaj is looking like, what's Varuna doing? Why is he bowing down to Krishna like this? And then Varuna begins to speak and offer prayers, and he says, finally, after many, many births, this one has become successful. Because finally in this birth, I am getting the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nanda Maharaj is like, Varuna is saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Varuna, great authority, is saying, my son, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nanda Maharaj is just standing there, Supreme Personality of Godhead, my son. Meanwhile, Krishna says, thank you very much, Varuna. That's very nice for the prayers, but we have no time now. We really have to go, because all the residents of Vrindavan are in great anxiety. So he grabbed Nanda Maharaj by the hand, who is still going, Varuna, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes him up towards the water. And then next moment there, yeah, he's back, saved. Oh, it's a great, great ecstatic moment. And then Nanda Maharaj tells everything. in the water, servants Varuna. Next moment, Varuna, throne, opulence, inconceivable. Then Krishna appears, Varuna, flat on the ground. Prayers. Then he says, you know, that like this life after many births, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone says, no. Yes. Yeah? No. Yeah. Krishna's God. No. No. I can't believe it. God. Krishna. All this time you have lived with us in our village and we never knew. We never knew that you were God. Ah. Well, Krishna, now that we know, now you'll have to show us something. Krishna says, well, okay, what you like, you know? What shall I show you? Well, maybe you can show us the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna says, the Brahma Jyoti. It's very boring, actually. So why don't I show you something more exciting? Why don't I show you Goloka? Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, show us Goloka. Next moment, Krishna is showing Goloka to all the residents of Vrindavan, and to their great satisfaction, they see that Goloka is the same as their own village. There's only one difference. There are these effulgent personalities offering prayers. The Vedas personified. What are these guys doing here? Who are they? And then, yeah. So after a while, it was nothing new anymore, you know. If anybody said, you know that Krishna's God, said, yeah, everybody knows that, you know. So they stopped talking about it. And as a result, after a while, they just forgot about it. And one day, nobody talked about it anymore and nobody remembered it anymore that Krishna was God. So in this way, for a moment, the residents of Vrindavan also remembered that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. But it never changed their relationship. Not one bit. Not one bit. They never went on their knees. They still thought, well, you know, he's Krishna from our village, you know. He happens to be God, but so what, you know? He's just, yeah, he's a boy from our village. In this way, Krishna. So this Akrura Ghat is such a place. And Krishna remembered all these things. And then after he said, Rupa Goswami continues, now you will pass the residences of the Yajnik Brahmanas who had refused to feed me, even though I had requested them. You may not wish to see them, but still you should pass close to their houses. And even if you do not wish to see their wives who are always singing about my pastimes, still you should take their darshan and purify your eyes. Yes, we remember these brahmanas were involved in a karmakanda ritual. They were trying to get elevated to the heavenly planets. And they were very strictly executing a sacrifice and so on. And the cowherd boys were sent by Krishna and Balaram with the message that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. And they were specifically told, don't ask in the name of Krishna, ask in the name of Balaram, because Balaram is known as a Kshatriya, and Krishna's background is a little unclear. Vaishya Kshatriya, what is he? So you ask Balaram, then they may be more inclined to give. But the brahmanas, and then the cowherd boys, they were very familiar. They said, just now you have come to a point in the sacrifice where according to the rules, it is allowed to distribute foodstuff. It is allowed now. But the brahmanas, they paid no attention. They were not interested. But the cowherd boys went back to Krishna and Balaram and said, these brahmanas, they don't want to give. Then Krishna and Balaram said, go and ask the wives. So they went to the wives, and the wives immediately grabbed different pots with all kinds of preparations and ran over and brought it to Krishna and Balaram. So then it is described, why did these ladies, why did they bring and why not their husband? The same question was asked by the brahmanas later on. The brahmanas later on asked that question. He said, how come, you know, the men were the brahmanas. They had performed. They had received the sacred thread. Ladies were not getting any second initiation in those days. Okay? They were not getting. So it said these ladies have not followed any purificatory process, no initiation whatsoever, and we have been initiated duly with all the proper sanskaras and so on. Yes, and we. Somehow or other, how come that we could not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord? And how could these ladies who didn't perform any sadhana, how could they recognize? It is said because the ladies used to buy milk from the gopis. You see, the gopis would regularly come, sell milk and milk sweets. These Brahminic ladies would buy these milk products. And as a result, they had become devotees of Krishna. So just see, just by association, they had become uplifted so much that even although they had not followed any sadhana, the association itself was enough to make them pure devotees. It is stated so in the Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami describes that there is a principle of called Chaya Bhav, or the shadow reflection of love of God. It is said that either in the holy Dham you can get Chaya Bhav. When you go to Vrindavan, I don't know if you've been or if you've experienced, but in Vrindavan you just feel, oh, this atmosphere is so nice, so transcendental. I feel so Krishna conscious. It is a fact that the Dham is nourishing us. Our dependence on Sri Vrindavan Dham is much greater than we think. Sometimes you meet someone who says, I haven't been to Vrindavan for 20 years. How sad. I am so sorry to hear that. 20 years. It's so expensive, we never have the money. Sell your car. Right? You don't have to sell your car. Right? Okay. Drilling and filling also does the job. But then so much drilling and filling that there is no time. We must make time. We must somehow or other get that money to go there. It is never wasted. Never wasted. Because, yes, that Chaya Bhav is there. You actually get uplifted. The Dham lends you some taste and ecstasy that you actually don't have. Suddenly, I'm so Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Maybe I'm getting ecstatic symptoms these days. Hare Krishna. It's not ecstatic symptoms. It's Vrindavan. It's the Dham. It's the holy Dham that is lending us some bhav. And as soon as you're back in this Nikola Tesla Airport or whatever it's called right there in Beograd, right? Oh God, back to the same mundane consciousness that we're always in somehow or other, very quick goes again, but a little bit stays. So we go again and again and again to nourish that. It's said if you stay in the Dham for a long time, then actually that Chaya Bhav, that shadow, can make a deep impression and can create a lasting transformation. Just see. Chalo, let's go. Let's spend some time in Vrindavan. Or Mayapur. Or even Puri. Chalo. And then, yes, then it is said, or the Chaya Bhav, shadow reflection of love of God, one can get it from a great devotee. So being in the association of great devotees is indeed very important because they lend us some of their Krishna consciousness. And in their association, suddenly we also feel Krishna conscious. Usually we don't. But then suddenly, yes, Krishna consciousness becomes new and fresh and enlivening. And actually, yes, 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 yes. Huh? And we say, oh, how many times people say like that in front of their spiritual master that before they had a whole list of problems they were going to discuss. It saved them for 3 months, right? And carefully wrote them down. Every possible horrible problem that they could think of, let's tell our spiritual master. But Krishna, fortunately, it is said, Raksisya Titi Viswaso, Krishna protects his devotees. So, thank God. So, then, you know, they come before the spiritual master and then they say, oh, all my problems are gone. Eh? All my problems are gone, somehow or other. Yeah, it's the Jaya Bhav. It is that we are borrowing this Krishna consciousness, this inspiration. Suddenly we feel, ah, yeah, actually, these problems, they're not real problems. They're actually, you know, insignificant things and just some small material thing. Why am I bothering with this? The real thing is Krishna and you know, and we're discussing here about Krishna in Vrindavan and it's very nice and why, who cares, you know, that the mosquitoes are big in Fuska Goranga. You know, it's like, yeah, big deal, you know. What's a mosquito, even a big mosquito, in comparison to Krishna? So, in this way, we borrow it. And it said, when we are in the association of a pure devotee for a longer period of time, then again, that Chaya Bhav can become permanent. So this is what happened to these ladies. They were regularly buying milk and sweets. Not once. No, again and again. And then they heard from the gopis, spoke with the gopis, and the gopis, of course, could not help themselves and speak about Krishna. So these ladies of the brahmanas also heard it and heard everything and had such a desire then to meet Krishna. So when that opportunity came, they showed the very same mood as the gopis. They ran towards Krishna and Balaram, taking everything. And just like the gopis, they didn't want to go back home. They wanted to stay. But there was a difference. It was Jaya Bhav after all, because Krishna could convince them to return. Whereas the gopis, Krishna could not convince. No matter what Krishna said, they said, yeah, yeah. And they didn't go. They just stayed. But what are young girls like you doing here in the night all alone? I mean, this is like, you know, don't you know that this is very bad for your reputation? Is this a time to pick flowers at night? It's not appropriate to pick flowers in the night. You should do during the daytime. And what will your elders say? Better you go back home now. It's very late, but, you know, okay. If you reach home now, then maybe it will still be all right. Like, come on. He called us here and with his flute in the night. Now we are here. Now he's going to send us back, says Srimad Bhagavatam. They were not going. They thought he's joking. But he was carrying on. Then they thought, he's not joking. And they scratched the ground with their toenails out of anxiety. But they did not go. But these wives of the brahmanas, they went back. So we can see there is a difference in quality of love. Ah, yes. So it is said that, yes, because these husbands refused, maybe Uddhava would not want to go to that place. But he should go still, because the wives of these brahmanas will purify him. Yeah? Just seeing them. Yeah? Just seeing them. Seeing devotees, just seeing devotees is purifying. So that's just a really nice thing, you know. We don't think like that so often. Many times when we see devotees, then we think, oh, so-and-so is also here. They came again to the camp. Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Oh, well, I guess he's okay. Not so bad. So like this, we think, but we don't appreciate just by seeing devotees, we get purified. But it is a fact. Just by seeing anyone with wearing tilak, you get blessed. Therefore, tilak is a good thing. Because if you wear tilak, you give blessings to other people. And then you become generous, you see. If you start giving blessings to other people, then you stop thinking about, but what about me? What am I getting out of this? Yeah? I came all the way to this camp, and what am I getting out of this? You know, I mean, what are we getting? Yeah, what are we getting? And to pay a lot of money also. And what are we really getting? I think we're not getting much, is it? Yeah. So then we think of what we're getting. But we must give. So just wearing tilak alone is such a thing that we give when we wear tilak. It's a good argument to wear tilak. You want to hear an argument to wear saffron? That's for the boys. You know, sorry about that. You want to hear? You know, this color saffron, right? It's all mixed up. Anyway, yeah. This color saffron is a nice color. Some say it's the color of renunciation. Okay? I don't know anything about renunciation. I have no idea about that. You know why I have this color cloth? Because the dust at Krishna's lotus feet is saffron. What about that? Hey, best color, you know. You can't beat that, isn't it? 1-0 for saffron. Yeah, what can I say? Yeah, saffron saris now, huh? Yeah, that will help a lot. I think that will do our movement a lot of good. heaps, absolutely. We need more saffron saris. Maybe not. Some distinction is also healthy. Yeah, it's like in modern times you have this unisex clothes, you know what I'm saying? But Vedic culture is not really doing that. It was kind of clear. In Vedic culture it was kind of clear. Is it a man or is it a woman? You can kind of see it. You know? Nowadays, you have many cases, right? You're not quite sure, you know, and you see something walking from the back and you're not sure what is it, you know. It's an it. I see. Okay, well, anyway, I will not make any more comments. I'm speaking about seeing devotees and that just seeing them purifies our eyes. Uddhava, you please next quickly pass through Kutik Tirtha, which is full of many variety of flowers and trees. So actually the area, it is between Akrura Tirtha and Chatikar, this Kutik Tirtha. So the first time I went through that area, a chaste flower girl looked at me with spontaneous love and raised her two arms while gently smiling. So naturally that was an area where gopis would collect their flowers, or maybe some aboriginal girls. There were also the Adipasis, those who were, nowadays they're known as Jats, you know, that people who have no caste. Before I was a devotee, I went to Gaya, you know, in Bihar. Gaya is the place where Lord Chaitanya went on pilgrimage, as we remember, after his father had died. Why? Because in the rock in Gaya, there is an imprint of Lord Vishnu, who appeared there before one sage, whose name just slipped my mind. But anyway, he left a footprint in the rock there, and they built a temple around it, and that's the Vishnupad Mandir, and everyone goes there, and you can bathe the rock with some milk that you can buy from the local pandas, who will charge you big donation for that. So this is going on in Gaya these days. Anyway, I went to Gaya and I stayed in some dharmshala, and when they When I came to the Dharamshala, they asked me, what is your Gotra? I said, Gotra? I said, we don't have that in our country. And then they said, okay, write there in the guest book, write Jat, right? So it means Aboriginal. Right? So I was an Aboriginal from that day on, a Jat. Of course, now if I would come back to that same place in Gaya, now, and these proud Brahmanas would ask me, what is your Gotra? I would know what to write. I would write Achyuta Gotra. Achyuta Gotra. Gotra means family lineage, because now we are in the Achyuta Gotra, in the family lineage from Krishna. And not only that, see, there are many Gotras from different sages, Gautama Totra, like that, or Bharadwaj Gotra, like that, different Gotra, Parasara Gotra, right? And many Brahmanas still have that name. So they're not, Brahmanas will have the title Gautam, Brahmanas will have the title Parasar, right? So they come in that family lineage from these sages. And they can trace their family back that far to the Satya Yuga. I mean, you know, yeah, if we can go back 7 generations, we're doing pretty good, huh? That's a lot of work. Yeah. So in India like that. But we have the best, because first of all, Achyuta Gotra, Achyuta means infallible. So it's the infallible, the faultless family lineage. Perfect. Huh? The Achyuta Gotra coming from Krishna. So you can find no fault with that one. You might find a fault in the other ones, but no fault in this one. So it's the best one, actually. That should be, it's not from, well, yeah, we also have a Gotra now. No, excuse me. We have the Achyuta Gotra. So what is your Gotra? Achyuta Gotra. The infallible Gotra. The one that has no fault. The perfect one. Thank you. Yes. Any other questions, please? So in this way, this movement changed everything. Which reminds, rather than telling stories, I'll go back to the book, but it just reminds me of a story that's a little related. I once was giving a lecture in a university in Kanpur in India. And as I'm speaking, at the end of the lecture, one aristocratic looking man, you know, like a kind of fair skin and a gentle nose, he looked like a Brahmana. And he began to breathe very heavily. Right? They do that sometimes. And I thought to myself, he's going to say something. And sure enough, you know, and as I'm finished, he says, you spoke of the Kris Dhatu, Ka for Kala, Ra for Rakta, Sa for Sukla, Tri Yugi Narayan. Sorry, like, oh, very nice. So he was explaining, saying, yes, Krishna, you spoke of the Krishna Dhatu, that is the root form. Dhatu means root form of the word Krishna. And then he broke it down and said, the first letter Ka stands for Kala, the blackish incarnation, Ra, Rakta, the reddish incarnation, and Sukla, the white incarnation. In this way, he had the three incarnations that appear in three yugas. And that's why he said, Tri Yugi Narayan. Narayan appears in three yugas. Oh yes, very nice. So I said, but well, thank you very much. That was a very nice explanation you just gave. I said, but if you allow me, I may also present an explanation of the Krishna Dhatu that I have heard from the Vaishnav Acharya, where it says that Krish comes from akarsan, which means to attract, right? And therefore the name Krishna means he who is all attractive, or the name Krishna means he who is attracted by devotional service. Right? So then his ecstatic symptoms became even bigger. He said, oh, your explanation was even better than mine. So later I found out that this gentleman was a professor, a Sanskrit professor, the head of a Sanskrit college. And here I am, a village pumpkin from Holland, you know. And when it comes to Sanskrit, it's not too impressive, you know, what I murmur in terms of Sanskrit. In my village they might be impressed, but in reality it's not really that high class. So how can a village pumpkin from the Netherlands, that means the lowest country in the world, right? I can honestly say I've taken a low birth, right? Yeah, I have. You know? Definitely, literally, completely, absolutely, no doubt about it. But literally, geographically, I was in all respects. So, you know, the evidence is there. I can show my passport. Anyway, so a low birth. And how is it possible that we can say something? Simply because we repeat the words of the great acharyas. Simply because we repeat the words of Jiva Goswami, and suddenly village pumpkin begins to, can just, you know, take some Sanskrit acharya and just, okay, next. Anybody else has anything to say about Sanskrit dhatus? Yes, please. Because who can argue with Jiva Goswami? I mean, you know, this is Achyuta Gotra. This is the infallible family lineage coming from Krishna. This is our line. This is very nice. So like that, we are greatly, greatly fortunate. And the time is almost finished. It is actually finished, but I just must do one more verse, time or no time. Time waits for no man, but time will have to wait a little bit now. So it said, in the same way you should proceed into the area of Satikara, also known as Chatikara, which is under the control of the black bees. Once, while I was playing in that place, Sridham took on the form of Garuda, and I sat on his back for 12 days as Vishnu. So this place, Garuda, is the deity is still there, Garuda Govinda. And this is right next to our temple, because it's really where you turn off from the Delhi-Agra highway, you know, go left, 6 kilometers left to Vrindavan, that place where the pandas are waiting for stop your car, don't stop. You go, that place is Chatikara, and this Chatikara is right there where Krishna took on that form of Vishnu, and Sridham became Garuda, and Krishna stood on his back, and the deity is there, covered by cloth. If you offer a small donation, 100 rupees or whatever, then the pujari will show you how Krishna is standing on the back of Garuda. It's very nice. And then from there, you can even walk to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, chant a few rounds on the way, 6 rounds or so, and then you're at the Krishna Balaram Mandir via Raman Reti. So really, Krishna is describing to Uddhava how to go to Nandagam, to Vrindavan, and he comes via Chatikara. He basically, practically comes to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, practically comes to the area where Prabhupada had his temple, and that's how I started today with Rupa Goswami. And the next part of the seminar will really take us right over that Chatikar road, which is now known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark. And where at the end of the Chatikar road, or Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark, is the Prabhupada gate, which is, and then you enter into Vrindavan through the Prabhupada gate. And tomorrow we are going to enter Vrindavan through the Prabhupada gate. Thank you very much.